I'd like to encourage you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 this morning. We all like a good story, don't we? And we especially like a good story with a happy ending. Let's note here in Matthew chapter 21, verses 6 to 9. Matthew chapter 21, verses 6 to 9. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes went before, and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we are so thankful for the opportunity to worship you on this Resurrection Sunday. We ask now that you would speak to our hearts from your precious, eternal word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Yes, we all like a good story. And we especially like a good story with a happy ending. And we're all looking forward to a happy ending to all of these current restrictions, I'm sure. But until then, it is possible to be happy, because there is a happy ending to the significance of today, Easter Sunday. On this Easter Sunday, let's note from the Gospel of Matthew the sequence of events that lead ultimately to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Sunday before Easter Sunday is traditionally known as Palm Sunday. Why? Well, as Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem to present himself as the Messiah, the Bible teaches here in verse number 8 of Matthew chapter 21 that people spread their garments and branches in his pathway. They rolled out the red carpet, so to speak. And this was a fulfillment of a Bible prophecy given by a prophet by the name of Zechariah. In his book, chapter 9, verse number 9, he wrote that the coming Messiah will ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. This is known as the triumphal entrance. And note there in verse number 9, the Bible teaches us, the people cried out, Hosanna, save us, save us. But unfortunately, the Lord Jesus presented himself as the Messiah only to be rejected. This triumphal entry was far from a triumph. It was the actual rejection of Jesus Christ as the Messiah by the nation of Israel. You'll note there in Matthew 21, verse number 11, and the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Note, they didn't say, this is Jesus, the Messiah promised of old. So they inadvertently rejected him as their Messiah. And this event marks the beginning of the end of our Lord's earthly ministry. And that's why in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse number 41, Dr. Luke gives his account of the triumphal entry. And he writes, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." The Lord Jesus knew that he would be rejected as the Messiah. So this triumphal entry was far from a triumph. It was the actual rejection of Jesus Christ as the Messiah by the nation of Israel. And as I've already said, this marks the beginning of the end of our Lord's earthly ministry. I'd like to encourage you now to turn to Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 and 2. It reads, "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." Note the little phrase then, verse number 2. Ye know. Ye know. Ye know what? Well, back in chapter 20, verses 17 to 19, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples that I will be betrayed and I will be crucified. So the disciples were reminded of that very fact, that the Lord Jesus will be crucified shortly. And in that context, we note here in chapter 26, once again, verses 26 to 30, where our Lord Jesus has his last meal with his disciples, the Passover meal. Note here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 to 30. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And verse number 30 reads, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So the Lord Jesus has his final meal with his disciples, the Passover meal. And it's within that Passover meal he takes bread and he begins to break and distribute amongst his disciples. And he said, "This represents my body, which will be broken for you." And then the Bible teaches us that he took the fruit of the vine, pure grape juice, and he passed that around and he said to his own disciples, "This represents my blood, which will be shed for you." To what end? For the remission of sins, the Bible teaches us in verse 28. Our Lord, anticipating his time is short, goes to prayer following this event in a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. Note then verse number 36, please, of Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 39. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry, or remain ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Our Lord Jesus, anticipating his time is short, goes to prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means olive press. It was a place where olives were grown and also processed. And here we see within these verses that we've just read that our Lord Jesus willingly submits to the will of God the Father. He did say in John chapter 4, verse 34, I've come to do the will of my Father. We see obedience, sacrifice, humility. And that's why Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 teaches us that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he cried out there in verse number 39, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The Lord Jesus was willing to yield to the will of God the Father. To what end? Well, he told his disciples that my body will be broken and my blood will be shed for the remission of sin. And not long after, we read here in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 47, that he is arrested while he's in the garden. Note here Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 to 50. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. So within this passage of Scripture, Judas Iscariot betrays our Lord Jesus with a kiss. And our Lord Jesus, in his spirit of forgiveness, said, Friend, friend. Now, for those of us that claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ, for those of us that claim to be Christians this morning, are we betraying our Lord with our words and our actions? The Lord Jesus is arrested here in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible teaches us in verse 49, and they took him. Well, where did they take him? Well, they took him for trial. His trial follows in two stages within this chapter. Note the first stage before the religious leaders. So first and foremost, our Lord Jesus is brought before a religious trial first and foremost. And here he is tried for blasphemy and claiming to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we note that from verses 57 to 65. But for the sake of time, let's read verses 57 to 59. Matthew chapter 26, 57 to 59. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. And Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in, and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. So as the Lord Jesus stood before this religious trial, he was tried for the crime of blasphemy. What was that claim of blasphemy? It was that he claimed to be the eternal Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah. And the religious leaders said, that is blasphemy for you to claim to be our Messiah. Well, the Lord Jesus only claimed his identity. But the issue was they rejected him. They were not prepared to accept him as the Messiah. So therefore they cried out, blasphemy, blasphemy. This man is worthy of death. Now, because the land of Israel was under Roman rule, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, had to gain authority in order to put somebody to death. So this leads us to the second trial. He has his religious trial. They condemn him for blasphemy. They want him killed, but they don't have the authority to put to death. So they seek authority from Roman rule to put to death the Son of God. And this leads us into Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 to 14. Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 to 14. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. So we see the Lord Jesus is here before Pilate. And as Pilate examines the claims of this religious council, he is determined and courageous enough to say that I find no fault in him. And as a result, he wanted to release him. But that was not the agenda of the Jewish council. They wanted to kill him. So how was he going to get out of this sticky situation? Well, what he does, he offers the people the release of a prisoner, being Passover season. And we note that in chapter 27, verses 15, down to verse number 17. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Verse 17, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? So Pilate offers the Jewish leaders and those that were watching on this trial, who would you like for me to release unto you, Barabbas, a noted prisoner, or Jesus Christ, whom I find no fault in him? Well, to his surprise, the Bible cried out, the Bible teaches us, the people cried out, release unto us Barabbas and crucify Jesus Christ. Note there in chapter 27, verses 21 and 22. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. So they cried out, release unto us Barabbas, but crucify Jesus Christ. So therefore Jesus Christ was sentenced to death. In chapter 27, verses 35 to 38, the Bible teaches us they crucified him. They parted his garments. They cast lots. that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. So Jesus Christ was sentenced to death, crowned with thorns, stripped of his clothing, whipped almost to the point of death, mocked, carried his own cross to a place of crucifixion. And then in verse number 38, the Bible teaches us that he was crucified between two thieves that deserved to die. Note then, chapter 27, verse 38, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then the Bible goes on to read in chapter 27, verse number 50, that Jesus Christ breathes his last breath and he cries out, Father, forgive them. And with that great cry, the Bible teaches us in verse number 50 that he yielded up the ghost. Note then verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Jesus Christ died on the cross. What was the purpose of his death? Well, the purpose is that you and I might live. See, we deserve to die because we are sinful. Jesus Christ is without sin. And even the two thieves on the cross eventually acknowledged that fact. They actually said to one another, we deserve this judgment, but this is an innocent man. See, Jesus Christ became our substitute. He became the sacrificial lamb. He became the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. John the Baptist cried out, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ died that we might live. We deserve to die because of our sin. But he became sin for us and died in our place. He became our substitute. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love towards us. That word commendeth means to demonstrate. He demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ became our substitute. Why didn't Jesus Christ fight back when he was arrested there in that garden? Because he knew he was doing the will of God the Father. And a holy God needed justice to prevail. And Jesus Christ was prepared to take our sin upon himself as the spotless, sinless Lamb of God and pay for my sin and pay for your sin that we might have life eternal and enjoy forgiveness. Because remember that the Lord Jesus said to his own disciples, this bread represents my broken body. This fruit of the vine, this grape juice represents my shed blood for you. So what was the purpose of his death? The purpose was to make payment. To make payment for your sin. To make payment for my sin. He became our substitute. Is this the end of the story? Well, if it is, it's not a happy ending. For you and I, on a human level, maybe, but not for the eternal Son of God. The Bible teaches us in verse number 50, as we just read, he yielded up the ghost. He died. And from that point, he was taken down from the cross and placed in a rich man's tomb. Note then verse 57 to 61. Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 to 61. Note then verse 60, it reads, and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. So the Lord Jesus was taken down from the cross. He was placed in a rich man's tomb. And then the Bible goes on to teach that guards were set around the tomb lest the disciples that had scattered, the Bible teaches us, would return and steal the body and falsely claim that he is alive. But my friend, may I remind you that Jesus Christ promised that he would rise from the dead. Note then verse 62, please, of Matthew 27, down to verse 66. The Bible reads, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure. They locked the sepulchre. They placed a huge stone in front of that tomb. They sealed the stone." That's in reference to a Roman seal. "And set a watch." So the Bible teaches us that guards were set around the tomb. The body was sealed. And then we move into Matthew chapter 28. Some 3 days have now passed. And note there in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." So it's been 3 days now. It's the first day of the week, being a Sunday, and a group of women come to the tomb to anoint his body. You see, he was quickly taken down from the cross. He was placed in this tomb before sunset, which was according to Jewish law. But the body received no embalming. He was just simply placed in the tomb. So this group of women came to the tomb to anoint the body of our Lord Jesus. And the Bible teaches us that as they approached the tomb, they were shocked by the very fact that it was opened. And the soldiers were gone. What has happened? Note then verse number 2. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow." Then in verse number 4, "For fear of him, the keepers," or the guards, "did shake and became as dead men." What happened? Note then verse number 5 and 6. "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified." Note verse 6. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay." The angel announced to this group of women, "Our Lord is risen, just as he said. He is not here. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Jesus Christ arose. This is the happy ending. The happy ending of a message full of hope, worthy of proclamation, because the angel said to the women then, verse number 10, "Don't be afraid, go and tell my brethren of what has taken place." Proclaim that message of hope. See, Jesus Christ arose from the dead. personally and visibly. And he was seen by his disciples and by no less than 500 witnesses over 40 days before he ascended back into heaven. Easter Sunday is a day that we as Bible-believing Christians, by our corporate worship together, acknowledge the fact that our Lord Jesus is not dead, but that he arose from the dead. Is it true? Is it believable? Oh, yes, it is. This is Easter Sunday, my friend. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. As men, women, and children assemble to worship their Savior on this specific day of his resurrection. See, there's a reason why Sunday is the main day of Christian worship. It is the day of the week that our Lord Jesus arose from the dead. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Bible teaches us he was buried according to the Scriptures. And the Bible teaches us that he rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ died for my sins. And God the Father was pleased with the sacrifice of God the Son, because he said this is enough. It is enough to grant eternal life to all mankind. And my friend, if you will receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you likewise can have forgiveness. And you likewise can have a happy day. And you likewise can have hope and peace and joy and the assurance that when Jesus Christ comes again, you will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. See, Jesus Christ changes people's lives. This is Easter Sunday because we serve a risen Savior. That's why people all over the world on this given day of the week, they worship their risen Lord collectively. To commemorate the fact that Jesus Christ not only died, was buried, but he rose again. And people all over the world give testimony of the fact that this Jesus Christ has changed their life. Followers of Christ making the same claim. Jesus Christ has changed my life. He has given me forgiveness, hope, peace, the assurance of eternal life. I'm not fearful, because God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Let me ask you, my friend, on this Easter Sunday, have you received this forgiveness from sin found in Jesus Christ? Have you received forgiveness from sin in the person of Jesus Christ? He offers that forgiveness for you and I. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not a bad person. Well, that's not true. The Bible teaches us there are none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible teaches us the soul that sins, it will die. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. But Jesus Christ took judgment upon himself. He took your judgment. He took my judgment. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. So therefore, you and I can receive a gift. And that gift is eternal life. And that gift of eternal life is found in the person of Jesus Christ and him alone. And my friend, I'd like to encourage you on this Easter Sunday to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. May I lead you in a prayer of commitment that you might consider believing in your heart and confessing with your lips the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Why not in the quietness of your heart right now, pray a prayer like this? Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I deserve death and hell. But I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. You were buried and you rose again. And now, the best way I know how, I repent of my sin. And I receive you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life and be my Savior from sin. And give me life eternal. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your lips and you pray, you can receive him as your Savior. And I trust that maybe some of you made that commitment. For the Bible teaches, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, this is Easter Sunday. We serve a risen Savior. And for those of us that are Christians, let's share that hope of a risen Lord with others until he comes again. Christ the Lord is risen today. And I trust and pray for you and I that are a part of this service. I trust that all of us have the assurance of life eternal. That's possible by placing our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And that's my prayer for you. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. I pray and ask that you might strive with each one of us. And I pray if there are some that have yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray at this very moment that your Spirit would speak to their hearts, that they would just simply lift up their heart to you and confess you as Lord and Savior this day, Resurrection Sunday. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.